Father, we are so thankful for Love Never Fails Sunday, for the Grace Connection. Lord, bless those who have given, and bless Steve and Carol and all the children in Mexico, Lord. And Father, thank you for our new college students who have left the orphanage, living on their own, Lord. Help them. Help them. I know, Father, that Steve told me they got them involved in the Calvary Chapel at Reynosa. Oh, Lord God, you're so good. Today, Lord, we are so thankful that, well, for VBS, and Lord, for Danielle and Teresa and all the people that labor there and serve there and made this such a special time, and all the little ones that came to you, Lord, how good you are. And Father, we pray over Stephanie today. Lord, as she steps out now and re-energizes and brings life back to Grace Connection. So bless her, bless Kent, her husband, all the work that they're doing. And Lord, somehow, some way this morning, I pray that my mind is only fixed in heaven, not on things on earth, and that I hear the Spirit of God clearly, and that I speak only your truth and speak your will and only your purpose to your sheep. And Lord, may their ears be open, and may they be ready to apply what they hear from your word. We love you this morning. We bless you this morning. There is no one like you, O God. We love you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. We're going to talk this morning about one of your favorite subjects again, and that is money. Amen? Yeah. And so remember now, we left off the last time, and I talked about the truth about money. And this morning, we're going to talk about the right attitude about money. And, you know, last time when I left off, I was gone, had a wonderful time at Calvary Amarillo, just a great, great church. And when I did leave off a couple of weeks ago, remember that as we're closing out, pardon me, chapter 6, Paul is now bringing, really everything full circle, if you will. He's like ending chapter 6 the way he began. We found that out the last time I was with you. And that he was commanding, or rather telling us about the false teachers, that they were pretending to be godly for financial gain. In other words, they were lovers of money. And we're going to move from the lovers of money and so forth to the command that those who have riches and the attitude, the right attitude that they are to have. Now, here's what's going to happen. If your mindset doesn't get right now on about what we're going to learn, you won't get this chapter. You won't get these few verses, I mean. So we have to understand, if we have the right mindset, we have to have it about wealth, about money, about riches, and so forth. Now, you might even believe this morning that the command there in verse 17 that I just read doesn't apply to you, doesn't apply to me or whatnot. You might even say that you're not rich. I can assure you that if the Ephesians could look forward and see us today, would they consider us to be very wealthy? Yes. Absolutely. Loved one, listen to me. We are rich. We are rich. And that's the problem with so many believers and the world today. Listen to me. Almost half of the world survives on less than $2.50 a day. Not only that, 10% of the world survives on less than $1.90 a day. Think about that. 70% of the world's poorest people live in Africa. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have a car? Does your car have AC? Oh, wow. Do you have automatic windows that roll up? Did you take a hot shower this morning? I pray you did. Are you following me? Did you sleep in a bed last night? Did you have anything to eat this morning? We're rich, aren't we? We're overflowing. We are wealthy. We're a wealthy people. You know, World Vision says this, that in America, 34 million people live in poverty, meaning that they make about $35.28 per day. But even though that is a statistic, they're actually richer than anyone in the world, in a sense. Does that make sense? Now, let me give you an example. You know who Elon Musk is, or Elon, whatever his name is? Now, is it Elon? Whatever E. Musk, okay? Okay, he is worth, I just read it yesterday, here it comes. He's worth $209 billion. He's the richest man in, I think, the world, okay? I don't know that, but maybe I'm wrong. But here's the deal. Let me read it to you because I did some math. $1 billion equals 1,000 million. Now, how long does it take to spend $1 billion? You ever thought about that? How long does it take? $1 billion. Now, let me just give you a statistic. It says, imagine if someone gave you only $1 million and told you to spend $1,000 every day and come back when you ran out of money. You would return with no money left in 3 years. 3 years. Now, if someone gave you $1 billion and you spent $1,000 each day, you would be spending for 2,740 years before you ran out of money. That's how much $1 billion is. Now, with all of that being said this morning, I pray that you get the right attitude about money beginning in verse 17. Look at the fifth and final command there of Paul to Timothy. He says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. Now, what does that mean, not to be haughty? It means don't be proud. Don't lift yourself up. The word literally means don't be high-minded. Don't have a high, exalted opinion of yourself. And you know what? Can wealth do that? Sure it can. You know, wealth gives you security and power, but it's a false security and it's a false power. Now, listen, to be prideful for a believer, to be prideful because you are rich. You know what that means? It means you do not know where your riches or your money or your paycheck comes from. Does that make sense? You don't know. You see, everything that we have comes from Almighty God. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 10:22, it talks about this. It says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. It's God's blessing, not the world's blessing. It's God's blessing. And then he says, and he adds no sorrow to it. I love that part. How about this one? Whenever the children of Israel, when they were about to go into the promised land, Moses tell them what God commanded? He said, don't you think, in Deuteronomy 8:17, he said, don't you even, I'm paraphrasing, my allergies are going crazy today from this pollution, not COVID, all right? Or maybe I have a sheep thing going on, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that he said, listen, don't you ever say that by my power and by my might and my, all your hard labor that you've acquired this wealth, for it is the Lord God who gives you the power to get wealth. Amen? And it's always God. He's the one who provides everything we need. And see, pride because of possessions is really a sign of immaturity on the part of the believer, especially if you're going to boast about it. The Bible tells us if we're going to boast about anything, in Jeremiah 9:23, he says, if you're rich, he says, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him boast or brag about this, that he understands me, saith the Lord, and that he knows me. Amen? Boy, that's what we should be bragging about. Now, listen carefully. Every believer must learn to master money. It's a learning process in your life. If you don't, it will finally end up mastering you. I hate debt. Do you hate debt? Let me say something before I continue. I love you, but listen to me now. You have to treat debt as an enemy. Now, I don't mean, well, I bought a home. Okay, we'll try to get it paid off quickly. Amen? But you can't, if your credit card debt goes crazy, then you're going to be in bondage because it says that the borrower is servant to the lender. I borrowed all this. No. You know, whenever we bought this church, we paid this thing off as quickly as we could because the bank wouldn't give the loan to the church to pay it off. I had to sign for it, and I didn't have any money, so I had to go get other people to help sign too. Aren't you glad we're debt-free? And we've been debt free for over 25 years. We don't go into debt. Amen. Oh, and don't you either. Now, Bill, get out of my business. Okay. But I don't want to be servant to, I don't want to be servant to a bank. Jesus said in Luke 16:13, if you don't get your handle on your money, listen to what Jesus said. No servant can serve two masters, for he'll either hate the one, love the other. He will either be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or wealth. You see, it's two masters. One tells you to walk by faith. The other tells you to walk by sight. You follow me? We don't want to be servant to that at all. The word serve there has to do with our will and our attitude. It demands our devotion. Now, Jesus said that we cannot serve God and mammon. That means there's no compromise. I don't want to be conformed, and you don't either, to the materialistic values of the world that we live in. Amen? No, we don't want that. So he says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be filled with pride. Don't be haughty, high-minded. He says, nor, look at this attitude, nor trust in uncertain riches. You know, today in our world, we have many gifted financial planners and advisors, and that's not a bad thing at all. But the truth of the matter is that I believe the best financial planner in the world is the Word of God. Is the Word of God. Just doing what God says. It's all laid out right there in Scripture. And Jesus spoke more about money than he did about heaven. So keep your eye on God. And yeah, okay, keep your eye on what you have as well. But the fact of the matter is that wealth can be wiped out in a blink of an eye. Amen? It says in Proverbs 23:5, will you set your eyes on that which is not? In other words, it just goes away. For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away like an eagle toward heaven, meaning they're gone in a flash. You know, the epitome of evil, meaning the love of mammon, is going to take place, or wealth, riches, in the Great Tribulation period. Remember when Babylon finally falls and all of that, and they're being destroyed there? It says in Revelation 18:14, it says, oh, the fruit of your soul lusted for, meaning riches, have gone from you. And all the things which are rich, and all the things which are splendid, have gone from you. They've taken wings, in other words, and just taken off. And you shall find them no more at all. Revelation 18:17. For in one hour, such great riches came to nothing. Boy, that's what's going to happen at the end. See, we can't trust in uncertain riches. Amen? No, the Bible tells us here, it says, the attitude that we're to have, it says, don't trust in those uncertain riches, but trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to what? Enjoy. Do you believe that scripture? It's in the Word of God, loved one. Listen, God provides, everything God provides us, he provides richly. Did you know that? Yes, all true enjoyments in this world have their source in God our Father. And I can tell you that God provides more financial security than anyone else in the entire world. Amen? Now, my question is, are you enjoying the riches that God has provided for you? You know, the Bible says this in 1 Chronicles 29:12, both riches and honor come from you. Ecclesiastes 5:19, for every man to whom God has given riches and given wealth and given him power to eat of it. Boy, that's a good word. You know, can you, you know, think that, just if you imagine yourself a billionaire, but you're so miserable, you're so lonely, you're so empty. You turn to this to live, and you turn to that for living, and it always leaves you empty. God says here, for every man to whom God's given riches and wealth, he's given them power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor. Now listen, this is a gift from God. Amen? Let me give you another one. Psalm 50:10. Every beast of the field, God says, is mine. All the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. All the birds of the mountains, the wild beasts of the field, they're mine. God says to the people, to Israel, to us, he says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Do Do you know, and let's not only the world, but the entire universe, all things belong to God. You know, the Webb telescope, the thing that's just new right now, y'all familiar with that? Okay, now, I don't know if you noticed in the paper or maybe if you read your iPad, wherever it comes, you get your news from. It had that first picture of the galaxies, you know, and I was reading about that. And they said, here's how you need to understand it. If you took one grain of sand and put it in your hand and held it out from you, that would be what you're looking at right now in the universe. That photo of all those galaxies. Do you see how gigantic, unbelievably, the universe is? Well, you know what? Who owns that? God. I think he can take care of us, don't you? Yes. So the living God, it says, who gives us richly all things to enjoy, which means this, our attitude, if you really believe that, our attitude should be one of thanksgiving unto God. Listen, everything we have here, everything I have and you have, even the breath that we're breathing, God has given unto us. Think about that. The Bible says in Job 12:10, it says, in whose hand, meaning in God's hand, is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Acts 17:25, God gives life to all things, breath. And so, you know, it's not a sin to be rich. I hope you don't think that. It's not a sin to be rich at all. Did you know the word enjoy? If you would look that up in your dictionary, you know what enjoy means in the Greek? It means to take pleasure in something. God says, I want you to enjoy all the things that I have given unto you. You know, listen, do you have a boat? Why? I hope you're not feeling guilty about it. You can invite me. I'll pastor you out there and I'll counsel you, get you through this. You know, as long as you have that little, you know, shade or something for me. Do you have a swimming pool? Do you feel guilty? Do you never tell people you have a swimming pool? Why would you do that? Are you able to have new cars every 3 years? I don't like you at all, but no, I'm joking. Come on. Do you understand? I mean, you have a beautiful home and all those things. Okay, well, praise the Lord. God gave it to you. Why don't you enjoy it? Now, let me preface now. Never, ever, I learned this, never feel guilty about what God has given unto you, no matter what anyone says to you. Never, ever feel guilty about all that God has, if you're a good steward, you follow me. Yes. Oh, listen, but don't ever trust in uncertain riches. Trust in the living God who has given you all, richly, all things to enjoy. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:28, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. You know, wealth can either be the Christian's servant or vice versa. That's what I always pray. Man, listen, being rich is not a sin, but let me tell you what it is. It is a great responsibility. Having funds is a great money, a lot of money, or just having any money, it's a great responsibility. So how do we express our thanks unto God who gives us richly all things to enjoy? How do we express our trust to God who has given us richly all things to enjoy? Look at verse 18. He says, let them do what? Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Let them do good. The word do good, even though you see it throughout the New Testament, this phrasing here is only found right here in the New Testament. So it means do what is noble and do what is excellent in your life. Why? Well, God says, I want you to be rich in good works. Listen, good works are filled with power. Did you know that when you do them for God? They're powerful. Loved one, they change people's lives. Do you know that the world sees you? The Bible tells us this in Matthew 5:16. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see with their eyes your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So what makes our light shine? It's when we do good works for God. In other words, that's when God is glorified. Now, to not do good for the believer means you are out of the will of God. Let me give you the scripture. 1 Peter 2:15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence, or that word means muzzle, you may muzzle the ignorance of foolish men. Number one, we are commissioned by God. When we're in His will is you go out and you do good. And not only that, it says it should muzzle foolish people. They should be so stunned by what believers do, what the church does, that it just blows them away. Matter of fact, they can't even speak. It puts a muzzle on them. They're silenced by our good works. The Bible tells us in Romans 1:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil, with good, Do you know the devil, the wicked one, Satan? He is the enemy of all that is good. He hates good. He hates us to do good. And how do we conquer evil? We just heard it. We conquer evil by doing good. Romans 12:9 says to cling or glue or cement yourself to what is good. John writes in 3 John 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Here it comes. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Do you know that when we do good, we do what God tells us to do, do you know that is well-pleasing in His sight? And think about that, that we can please God by doing good. Let me give you the scripture, Hebrews 13:16, where it says, but do not forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifices, and sometimes it is a great sacrifice, it says God is well pleased. In Acts 10:38, remember how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Are we to do the same? Or is God with us? Yes, He's with us. Is the Holy Spirit in us? Yes. Do we have giftings? Yes. Listen, the Bible tells us in 1 John 2:6, if we say that we abide in Him, meaning the Lord, if we say we live and dwell in the Lord, then we should walk even as He walked. In other words, wherever we go, we should free people through the Word of God and the power of God. Amen? We should save people. We're ambassadors for Christ. Now, Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, that word means an open door that God opens for you. You didn't open it. God opens it. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all, the Bible says. That means everyone, those in Christ, those outside of Christ. But then He says, especially those that are of the faith. So He says, don't just do good to your friends and your families. How about everyone? Be good to those. And listen to me, it doesn't take a certain level, that's the deception, a certain level of income to do good. Do you know that? Does it, I mean, do you have to be rich to make some cookies to take over to someone? No, or visit someone, or call someone. Does it take, you see what I'm getting at? It doesn't take that at all. You'll never do good works if you're preoccupied with what you do not have, loved one, believe me. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:10 that we are in Christ, and since we are, we were created for good works before time began, and that we should walk in them. So good works should be the lifestyle of the believer. That should be our attitude. Matter of fact, you could go through the whole Bible, you'll find out that we should be zealous for good works. That's over in Titus, I believe. That we should maintain good works. That not only that we should be fruitful in good works, that we've been thoroughly equipped, it says, by the Word of God for every good work, that we and be fruitful and so forth. And you know, you have to remember that God says you are a good work. Amen? So you know what we do? When you follow the good shepherd, you'll do good things to others. It's just that simple. Now look at it. Let them do good. We've learned that one. What is another attitude? It says that they be ready to give. You like that word? Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you. What does that mean? It means to be generous. It says ready to give. be generous, be bountiful in your giving. Luke 6:38, give, it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, running over into your bosom. And it is with the measure that you measure out, it'll be measured right back to you. What an incredible promise, amen? Yeah, you know, Henry Ward Beecher said this. He said, watch lest prosperity destroy your generosity. That is a true word. And then he says, willing to share. The word share, we get our word, remember in Greek, koinonia, like the Koinonia Cafe, meaning a place of intimacy. You see that someone has a need and it's a real need, not ripping you off and all of that. And you share with them. You go in fellowship with them and you say, you know what, I feel the Lord wants me to help you. So you're ready to give. You're willing to share. You know, today you shared. I pray you were generous. Today's Love Never Fails Sunday. You know, it's all about giving. And we don't ask for money. Have you ever noticed that we don't ask for money here? Now, we do today, amen. But 100% of what you gave, where does it go? It goes to Mexico. It doesn't go here. It goes right there. That's for full support. 100% goes there. Even when the mission team leaves, it doesn't come out of the Mexico account. You understand? Yeah, that money is 100% sowed into the orphanage, the work that we do there. You know, so the foundational scripture of Love Never Fails International, you know that, where the orphanage is under LNFI as well as our local work, Halton Christian School. The Bible tells us this. The foundational scripture is Proverbs 19:17. He who hath pity on the poor. Now, the word pity doesn't mean I feel sorry for you. It means I see your need. I do something about it. It's a hand up, not a handout. Amen? See, who hath pity upon the poor. Here it comes. Listen carefully. Lendeth unto God. We're going to make a loan to God. Doesn't that blow you away? Lendeth unto God. And here it comes. And He, God, will pay back what has been given. That is a promise from Almighty God. What does that mean? It's an investment that you can never lose. You can never lose. Listen, that scripture is the foundational scripture that has built Love Never Fails International, our Christian public charity, loved one. And it's done wonderful things. Amen. Now, so you cannot give God. The Bible tells us about giving in Psalm 41:1. Blessed is he who considers the poor. If you do that, it says the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Proverbs 14:21. He who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Let me give you a lot of scriptures today. Proverbs 14:31. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. That's not a good place to be. Amen. How about this one? Proverbs 28:27. He who gives to the poor will not lack. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I believe it with all of my heart. There is so much wasted wealth in this world. There's so much wasted wealth in America. You know what I mean? Have you ever watched any of those reality shows about those? Oh, I can't 3 seconds, maybe four I can make it. You know, I mean, there's so much waste and opulence and all of those things. Listen, I don't want that said about us. Now, when we have the right attitude and when we obey verse 17 and 18, look at the fruit in verse 19 that it produces. It says, storing up, when we do those things, we are doing something. We're storing up for themselves, storing up, that word literally means amassing a treasure, okay? So we are amassing a treasure for themselves, a good foundation. Now, that foundation is not here. That foundation is in heaven. It says, for it is for the time to come. We live in this present age, but we're giving, and the things that we do are for the age to come. And they're in heaven and so forth because our works follow us, loved one. It says that they may lay hold of eternal life. Now, we know that this is not speaking about earning your salvation. Amen? Yeah, works can't save, money doesn't save, or any of those things. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have a bank account, a savings account, or CDs, or any of those things. Don't lay up these resources on earth where moth, rust, destroy, thieves break in and steal. Lay up your treasures, or lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth, rust destroy, where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, present tense, there will be your heart also, future tense. Amen? So the result of all of that is that you may lay hold on eternal life. Now, what does that mean? We already have eternal life. The Ephesians, they already had eternal life. So it really should be translated and read in this manner, that they would lay hold of real life while they're here, that they would lay hold of real living while they're here on this planet. How? By investing in things that will last for all eternity. Isn't that amazing that your works follow you to heaven? The things that you do for others and so forth. Listen, to lay hold, that's a revolution. We're in a revolution here, I pray. And we'll be speaking more of that after we finish Timothy. But remember the revolution that we're in from 2022 to 2024. The fact is that the word lay hold of means to seize. I mean, to reach out and just seize it, take possession. Remember, the violent take it by force. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, it belongs to us. And so that's what he's saying, to lay hold of that real life. Turn in your Bibles with me to Luke 18, if you want, or your iPad, your iPhone, or you've probably memorized it anyway, don't need to turn. Luke 18, and let me look, verse 18. Listen to what Jesus is talking about, having the right attitude about money. He says, now a certain ruler, we know that to be the rich young ruler, asked Jesus, saying, good teacher, what shall I do? What work can I do to inherit eternal life? So he comes to the right person. He's asking great questions, the right question. Jesus said to him, well, why do you call me good? There's no one good but one, and that is God. So Jesus is saying, are you calling me the Lord God? He says, well, you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Honor your mother, father. And he said, meaning the rich young ruler, you know the story very well. Well, all of these things I've kept from my youth. I love that the Gospels, Mark's Gospel, tells us that Jesus, about the same story, looked at him and loved him, meaning this guy was full of bull. He's from Texas, you know what I'm saying? And so forth. But Jesus, looking at this rich young ruler, did that save him? No, it didn't save him at all. Let's continue, verse 22. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to them, well, you know, you lack one thing. Sell all that you have. Distribute to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And look what the invitation. And come. Come and follow me. The other gospel says, come, take up your cross and follow me. So the command, now listen carefully, the command to sell and distribute was given to only one man. It's not given to all of us. This is that one man and him alone. Jesus, again, he's not teaching salvation by works because eternal life is a gift. Amen? Now, so what is he saying? He's saying, you know what? You got a problem. And it's only one problem. Thou lackest one thing. That's and you got to get rid of it. And that's what's keeping you from being saved. And listen to me. Money should be in your hand, not in your heart. Amen? Yeah, it should never be there. No, and Jesus goes and says, and watch what the rich young ruler did. It says, and when he heard this, he became very what? Sorrowful. Look at the reason. For he was very rich. Matthew's gospel says he went away. He left Jesus. He turned his back and he left and he went away sorrowful. And you know what? Jesus didn't go after him. He turned his back on the Lord and he left. He walked away from eternal life. That, loved one, is the deceitfulness of riches and the wrong attitude. He loved his money. He loved his possessions more than eternal life. Think about that. That was his question. What can I do to inherit eternal life? It's a terrible thing when you go to Jesus and you leave Jesus in a worse condition than you came. Amen? And that's exactly what happened. I mean, he was almost saved. He only lacked one thing. All he had to do was be obedient. So the rich man became the poor man because money was his ruler. And you know what's really sad? And I don't have time to cover all this, but he heard the promise, the command, come, take up your cross and follow me. But he missed the promise that Jesus gave because he left. Had he stayed, he would have, remember what Peter came? Peter came and said, oh Lord, well then who can be saved? We've left everything and followed you. And the Bible tells us that Jesus looked at him and said, oh Peter, no man has left houses of family, mothers, fatherhood for my sake, who will not in this lifetime receive a hundredfold return and in heaven. Amen? Yeah, he missed it. He missed all of it. Listen, I'm going to ask you a very important question. Do you truly, loved one, do you have the right attitude about money? Do you have the right attitude about finances and riches and so forth? Let me tell you what Jesus did for us. 2 Corinthians 8:9. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. That means he emptied all of it for us. And that through his poverty might become rich. What does that mean? It means this. The Son of God left heaven and became the Son of Man. He became one of us yet without sin. Amen? And he died for us. He took our place. He came, the one who was rich, who owns everything, who created everything, who controls the entire universe. He made himself nothing. Why? For you and for me. Listen, that through you, his poverty, you might become rich. So what we were poor, he became. What we are now, we are rich because of our Lord. Here is the only attitude a believer should ever have, and that is this. I am right now, no matter my situation, no matter my circumstances, because my circumstances change because God is in control of my life. I am right now, you are right now, the richest person on this entire planet. Do you believe that? Oh, no, listen, I'm rich. You're rich. You have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, which are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. God has already chosen you in Christ before the foundation of this world. You are already sealed with the Spirit. You're accepted by God as he accepts his only begotten Son. Amen. You are rich. You are so rich, you can go to the throne room of heaven where all wisdom and all knowledge and all grace is found, and every need and all kinds of help is there for you. You're rich. You are justified, just as if you had never sinned because of what Jesus did and you believe in him. You've overcome this world. You're co-heirs with Christ. Paul said, all things are yours. All things are yours. Everywhere Jesus, everywhere God the Father is leading you, if you're truly being led by him, he is leading you in victory, no matter how you're hurting, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're experiencing. If you're really following him, he's leading you in victory. And not only that, you have been eternally redeemed, eternally purchased, oh, forever and ever and ever. Yet, look at the attitude of many in the church, endued with power from upon high, but unable to give, unable to do good, unable to be generous, unable to believe the promises of God, the God who cannot lie. I'm going to ask you a question because many of you, or a few, this is for you. Why are you worried about money? I told a young man yesterday, I looked him right in the eyes. I said, God will never, he will never, he will know never, he will never forsake you. He will never leave you without support. He will never relax his hold upon you. He will never, he will never, he will never. Don't be alarmed. Don't be seized with terror. Don't say, what man, oh, can you do? What are you going to do to me? No, God says in his word, he says, listen, the Lord God, I am your helper. I'm your helper. Listen, if God is your helper, you don't need any more help. You're the only people on earth. Listen to me now. You see, money doesn't control you. The Word of God controls you if you believe it. Amen? Believe in it. Hold on to it. Get out of debt. Ask God to get you out of debt if you're in debt. It doesn't about, listen, Peter didn't have a penny in his pocket when he walked on water. And money can't make you walk on water, but God can. He can make you walk on you over your problem and your circumstance if you'll believe him. Amen? We are the only people. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, what did he say? He said, don't be like the Gentiles, meaning the lost. Don't be like them worrying about what am I going to eat? What am I going to put on? Where am I going to stay? How am I going to get my car fixed? You know what I mean? He gave us a great command. He said in Matthew 6:33, he said, seek ye first. First. That's revolutionary talk. Seek ye first. The number one priority in your life, if you have a need, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? The things that you need in this life, the things that you need to eat, the things that you need to wear, the home that you need to live in, the school you need to pay to have your kid in. Do you understand? Everything we need is there, but we have to believe. Without faith, you can't please God. You have to say, Lord, you said it. God will never, ever let you down. Trust in the Lord and do good. That's the psalmist. He said, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Feed upon his faithfulness. Feed. Some of you are starving to death. Feed on his faithfulness. Delight in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. That's the living word of God. Loved one, listen. You want to be rich? Come to Christ. You don't know Jesus? I'm going to tell you something. I want you to listen. I say this in full of love. If you don't come to Christ, you will be in poverty for all eternity. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning, I pray you have the right attitude about Jesus. If you've never asked Christ to be your Lord, if you've never asked him to be your Savior, you can right now. All you have to do is lift your hand and put it right back down, and I'll pray for you right there in your chair. You don't even have to get out of your chair. But if it's you, just lift your hand high so I can see it just for a second. Let me see. Is anyone here? Quickly. Well, Lord, I'm assuming that everyone here, they belong to you. But maybe those online, there's a few there, or listening on the radio. You can ask Christ to come into your heart right now. And you'll be the richest person in the universe too. Lord, we give you praise for this day. And I pray that we all have the right attitude about the wealth that you've given us. Richly to enjoy. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. God.